All right, I'm going to go get my Bible. It's over there. I need you to get your Bibles. You need Bibles, you need pens, you need your notebooks or something to write in. Got it? Bibles, pens, notebooks, something to write in. Sorry to boss you around. That's what I do. All right, so I didn't trick you. There wasn't any bait and switch. I told you that the morning was going to be kind of heavy, and it was. We had that squirming where we had to sit under our sin for a little bit. And I just appreciate the ways that the Holy Spirit moved. I know a lot of you confessed areas of sin and pain, and that's a really, really brave thing to do. But we're going to move from that point. I told you that there's like two sides of the gospel coin. The first one being our absolute brokenness and sin nature. And we could just stare at that and be overwhelmed by our sin. But if we flip it over, we see the goodness of God and His grace in our lives. And so that's where we're going now. If you like to put a title above your notes, title this one, The Truth That Sets Us Free. And I'm going to have you get your phones out in a minute if you brought them, so keep those handy. So she had sand between her toes and those perfect beach hair curls. What is it about beach hair? It's just the best. And she busted out her tambourine, and she started dancing and singing. And it's not because she was having a great vacation. Let's turn together to Exodus 15. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. It's pretty close to this beginning. And we are in Exodus 15, 20 through 21. We're going to start there, and then we're going to backpedal a little bit in Exodus. Let me read you Exodus 15, 20 through 21. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with their tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea." I want us to imagine this scene. You just saw here a holy conga line of millions, yes, millions of people celebrating on the beach the victory that Jesus gave to them. We're going to go do a flyover of the book of Exodus to get us back to that point. So go ahead and turn to your left a little bit and get yourself to Exodus 1. When you study the Bible, I would encourage you to see it as the whole counsel of God, which is exactly what it is. I would encourage you not to use, some people call it the claw method, where you just kind of reach in there and pull out a verse. Some people call it the Instagram method, where you just pull out one quote big enough to put on your Instagram feed. Now, those verses are inspired. If you pull out just one verse, it is inspired, it is truth, it is useful. But every word in the Bible is a part of a sentence, and every sentence is a part of a paragraph, and every paragraph is part of a story, and every verse is a part of a passage, and every passage is a part of a book, and every book is a part of the whole counsel of God. And so when you study the Bible, I want to encourage you to get in the habit of just making yourself widen the lens a little bit every time. So even though we're going to land here in Exodus 12, we're going to do a flyover of the beginning chapters because it helps us see what's happening. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for instruction. And sometimes when we take Scripture out of context and just pluck out a single verse, we miss something important. So what we're going to do is we're just going to look at the headings. Now, the headings in your Bible are not inspired, but they're there, put there by men, and they're helpful. And we have a limited time to study this morning, and so we're just going to do the headings in the book of Exodus. Chapter 1, what does your heading say at the top of chapter 1? Okay, so mine says, Israel increases greatly in Egypt. We'll see later in Exodus 12 that there was about 2.5 million of them. About 2.5 million of them. That's a little bit mind-boggling to my brain. I live in a town of 3,000 people. But even in a really big city, 2.5 million would be a really big city. And that's how many of God's people were in Egypt, but they were enslaved by Pharaoh. Chapter 2, my heading says, the birth of Moses. Chapter 3, I bet we have some continuity here. What's your chapter 3 heading say? The burning bush. And what happens at the burning bush is that God calls to Moses and asks him to be a deliverer. Here's a good example. If you just plopped in your Bible on chapter 3 and you just read the story of the burning bush, it would be inspired and useful for your instruction. But as God's calling Moses to be a deliverer, if you haven't read chapter 1, you don't know what God's calling Moses to be a deliverer of. He's calling him to be a deliverer of these 2.5 million Israelites enslaved in Egypt. Chapter 4, my heading says, Moses given powerful signs. Never again since then have we seen God show off like he did in the days of Moses. He does all kinds of crazy stuff. He goes to dramatic lengths to set his people free. You may be feeling some of that this weekend. You may not be able to escape the presence of the Holy Spirit. He wants to get you free. And if he has to send plagues to do it, by golly, he'll send plagues to do it. Chapter 5, my title says, Making Bricks Without Straw. Girls, this is a picture of bondage, making bricks without straw. We're trying to build something. We're trying to make something of our lives. We're giving it all the gumption we can give it, but we just don't have what it takes. And that's exactly what was happening with God's people in Egypt. Chapter 6, God promises what? Deliverance. You could say freedom there. Same word. Do you know he's done the same for us? Let me read to you John 8, 31, 32. Don't flip there. I don't want you to lose your place in Exodus, but I'll read it to you. John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the what, girls? Truth. And the truth will set you what? Free. That's right. So here in Exodus, there's such consistency, such continuity in the Word of God. And when you get excited to be a student of the Word of God, you will be like, oh my gosh, that points to that, and that points to that, and that's the gospel here in the Old Testament, and that's the gospel here in the New Testament. And that's exactly what's happening here. God is promising deliverance to the Jews enslaved in Egypt, but he's telling us the gospel story way back here before we have the word gospel. We will be delivered from sin and fear and shame, from whatever it feels like we're chained to, when we pursue his what? Truth. You cannot read your Bible and not be changed. I dare you to try. Now, you could sit in church every Sunday for 40 years and walk out the same, I suppose. I met a lady once who got baptized, but she didn't yet know Jesus, and she said, I went in a dry devil, and I came out a wet devil. In other words, I went in, I didn't know Jesus, and I came out, I didn't know Jesus. The water didn't do anything. And that's true for a lot of things that we do to know God, but you cannot know the truth and not experience freedom. So chapter 7, Moses and Aaron before who? Say, let my people go. We won't sing the song. Nobody said it. Okay. Chapter 8 is the second plague, which is what? Frogs. Ew. The first plague was what? Water turned to blood. Good job. Chapter 9 is the fifth plague. All the Egyptian livestock die. Israel's livestock do not die. Chapter 10, we skip ahead to the eighth plague, which is the locust. Chapter 11, the final plague is threatened. Chapter 12 is the Passover, which is a very beautiful picture of the gospel. Chapter 13 is the consecration of the firstborn, which all points to Jesus. Chapter 14, they cross the what? The Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his chariots were chasing them. And verse 30 and 31 of 14 tell us this. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And that picks us up in 15 where we started. What'd you do in your session? Well, we covered half of Exodus in about 5 minutes. So they start to sing. First Moses leads them in singing. And then Miriam, Moses' sister, leads them in singing. And she's dancing and she's singing and she's shaking her tambourine. Which what amazes me about that is the Israelites had to leave in the dead of night. They were told to leave their food in their bowls and tie up their cloaks and run. But they grabbed their tambourines. Because perhaps they knew that the Lord would keep their promise, his promise, and that there would be an opportunity to worship. And so they have their tambourines and they start dancing on the beach. And Miriam here is the picture that I want you to have for yourself. Of somebody that just doesn't care what anybody thinks and just celebrates and enjoys her life and enjoys her God. And the reason that Miriam danced that way and the reason she expressed herself that way is because she knew what it was like to be a slave. She knew what it was like to be captive by something or someone. She knew what it was like to be delivered. She had experienced true freedom, and many of you know what it's like to be enslaved. You know what it's like to be enslaved to fear. We've talked a lot about that today, and I just got to believe that's a theme that the Lord had planned because we didn't. You know what it's like to be enslaved to anxiety. You know what it's like to be enslaved to self-hatred or self-harm. You know what it's like to be enslaved to bitterness. You know what it's like to be enslaved to addiction. But Miriam was delivered, and you can be too. I don't just want you to walk out of this room today. I want you to dance out of this room. I want you to hoop and holler and sing and celebrate like Miriam did. So I was thinking, man, what if we could get 500 tambourines? And I thought, I can't get 500 tambourines. And I thought, well, maybe there's a free tambourine app. Well, there is. So go to the App Store, see if you can find that free tambourine app. Sounds like this. It's good stuff. So go ahead. There we go. I don't hear any more tambourines except me and Aubrey's. Slow downloading. Okay, if you can, download your tambourine. We're going to use them in a little bit. All right. It's free tambourine app. I think it's called More Cowbell. All right. We're going to get free. All right. You see, Dana and I have been collecting freedom stories of late. Aubrey's been helping us do that. And every week we hear from girls who have been set free from eating disorders, or set free from addiction, or set free from their need for a boyfriend, or set free from beauty lies. And they're like Miriam on that beach, man. They can't wait to celebrate. They can't wait to tell us about it, and they can't wait to get others free. They always say that to us. They say, I was in bondage here. The Lord set me free this way. And I want to tell, I hear some cowbell over there. Good job. Come on. Give me that cowbell. Come on. They want to set others free. And that's what Miriam did too, right? She was like, come on, let's dance. I've totally lost you all with the cowbell app. I'm going to give you like 2 minutes to get your cowbell app. Free cowbell app. Even more cowbell. Oh, you got to switch it to tambourine. Isn't that the funnest thing? When I found it, I was like, in my house, by myself, just, don't take pictures of me dancing like that. All right, I hear some tambourines. Okay, put them down. We'll come back to them, I promise. That's fun stuff, right? Okay. All right. Freedom comes through Jesus, but he's given us a process in his word. And this session is going to feel a little bit more workshoppy. We're going to work through a process, but it's a really important process. And stick with me, and when we're done, we'll all play our tambourines. Okay? So I'm going to teach you a process that's changed your life. It's changed mine. And it seems so stinking simple. But it's really, really liberating. So freedom comes, if freedom comes from truth, bondage is a result of lies. I heard one of you. If freedom comes from truth, bondage is a result of lies. If freedom comes from truth, bondage is a result of lies. Very good. Oh, the after lunch slot is every speaker's worst nightmare. So everybody's just like, I need to go sleep. But stick with me. So when we believe something contrary to God's word, we always end up in chains. We talked about this earlier this morning. This is tricky because we don't come to a lie. We don't hear a lie spoken to us or see a lie somewhere and go, that's a lie, but I'm going to believe it anyway. The nature of lies is that they are deceptive. They are not easy to recognize. Many times they kind of look and sound and smell like truth. So we have to be on guard. So in Lies Young Women Believe, Nancy and Dana teach this progression, and I'm going to teach it to you today. Here is the progression of how we end up in bondage. Number one, we listen to a lie. Number one, we listen to a lie. Even if you have the Lies Young Women Believe book, I'm going to encourage you to write this stuff down. Now, it's not as simple as somebody who just lies to us, although that might be what happens. But lies are coming at us from every direction. It might be something somebody says to us. It might be something somebody says about us. It might be something we read. It might be something we watch. It might be a song we listen to. It might be something happening in the culture. It might be an experience we had when we were kids that we misinterpreted. That's true for me a lot. I once heard somebody say that kids are great observers, but they're terrible interpreters. So you know how I shared earlier that I suffered panic attacks because my dad left when I was 10. Well, my dad left my family, but really he left his marriage to my mom. But I interpreted that as he left me. Everyone leaves. And so I just interpreted a situation poorly. So that can be one of the ways we hear lies. They can come at us from any number of ways. The second way we can end up in bondage, first we hear the lie, and then number two, we dwell on the lie. Dwell. You could just write dwell. So that could be the kinds of people we follow on social media could cause us to sort of dwell or spend a lot of time thinking about something. It could be the books we tend to read, the songs we listen to, the people we spend time with, or it could just be, you know, crazy brain up here. Just, you know, I get crazy brain where it's just like whoop, 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 whoop. I just keep thinking about something, right? So that's dwelling. The third step is we believe the lie. So you've kind of entertained the idea a while, you've thought about it, but at some point, and not consciously, you decide that whatever this lie is true. Until Dana asked me, what lie are you believing tied to my panic attacks? I had never consciously decided that I believed everyone left. I'd never said that sentence out loud. But somewhere in here, I had believed the truth that everyone leaves. And then finally, we act on the lie. We act on the lie. And I did all kinds of really dumb things when I believed that everyone leaves. For years, I had a broken picker-outer. If a guy was a total loser who was going to treat me bad, he was the guy that I wanted to be with. I don't get it. Now looking back, I'm like, oh man, the Lord saved me. But I was acting based on a lie. So first we listen to a lie, then we what? Dwell. And then we what? Believe. And then eventually we're going to act. That's right. And then we end up trapped. In our fallen world, we find ourselves trapped and tripped up so often and so easily. Freedom is not easy, but it is possible. And I'm going to give you the steps. Okay? Here we go. We're going step by step. This one's a little more workshop style, but stick with me. Step one, identify the area of bondage or sin. I'll say it again. Identify the area of bondage or sin. You got to ask the Holy Spirit for help here. There's a passage where David said, "Search me, O Lord." And that's what you got to say to the Lord pretty often. Because we think we're good girls, right? But what do we say to the good girl? Goodbye, good girl, right? All right. Number two, we identify the lies. We identify the lies. So Samantha illustrated this progression for us beautifully. She identified at some point that the amount of anxiety she was experiencing regularly was bondage. Now, she might not have put it that way. She probably wasn't bebopping along and went, "I do believe I'm in spiritual bondage to anxiety." But somehow the Lord graciously gave her insight into her own heart and life enough to go, "Wait a minute, this isn't right." And so she identified the area of bondage. And then the Lord helped her through his word to identify the lie. The lie was, if I don't get this right, my life will cease to be okay. I will not be okay. So she's following the steps. Here's a question. I want you to write it down and come back to it. Where do my thoughts linger? Where do my thoughts linger? So this doesn't happen to me very often because I have four boys. And they talk all the time. But if I were to say be in the car and just my brain would just be allowed to kind of free float into thought, I'd be interested to know where it would drive itself. You know, what is it that I just kind of naturally think about most often? When you have empty headspace, and you know what? This is, phones are here to stay. They're not bad, but there's some challenges with our phones. And one of the things that most alarms me about them, and I don't hear other people saying, is they fill all the empty headspace. So whereas previously we might have sat on a bench and listened for the sound of our own voice in our head, now we what? Oh, there's dead space. Let me fill it. And we don't think those thoughts. So if you could just think, where do your thoughts linger? What is it that you're thinking about most often? Beauty isn't a bad thing, but are you constantly thinking about how you look? Boys are good, really good. But are you constantly thinking about boys? It's not hard to see how we dwell on lies. Maybe you've posted pictures of beautiful women all over your room. I had an eating disorder in college, and I had pictures of beautiful, thin women everywhere in my dorm room. I was obsessing. Maybe the pictures aren't girls you compare yourself to, but guys you lust after. Maybe you regularly visit websites that teach you how to cut or how to binge. Maybe you, any number of ways that you just make sure that you're thinking about this area of bondage. So if you want to break free from those areas of bondage, it's like a fire that you got to cut off from the fuel. You got to stop dwelling on them. And you're probably going to need help with this part. You're probably going to need somebody else's eyes on it. And this is where an older, wiser woman can really help you. Dana has been that woman for me since I was 15 years old. And Dana sometimes gets all up in my business, and I don't really like it a whole lot. But she'll recognize areas of sin or brokenness in my life, and I've given her permission to speak into them because I can't see them. I also have a board of women that I call my advisory board. That sounds very official. I didn't know what else to call them. A couple years ago, I knew that I was drowning in leadership because I was leading in isolation, and I went to these women and said, "I need you. Can we meet once a month?" And so I meet with these women once a month at Panera. I bring them my calendar. I bring them all of my speaking and writing requests, and I try to be honest with them about what's going on in my family. And I have to listen to what they say. And Tippy, who's the oldest of them, she's 75. She says, "Aaron's resistant anytime we talk about it. But I will do it. I'll do it kicking and screaming, but I'll do it." Because Tippy's all the time saying, "This is too much. Take this off. This is too much. Take this off." And there's another woman that has really close access to my parenting. And she'll say, "Your kids are struggling. You need to do less. Or you need to do this differently." And I don't ever like it. But I need other people's eyes to help me see where I'm believing lies, and you do too. Who has a godly mentor in their life? Oh, more of you than I would expect. That's great. For how many of you is that your mom? That's awesome. I love that. And if it can't be your mom, that's okay. Find somebody else's mom. But you know what I have found in the church is that younger women desperately want to be mentored, and older women desperately want to mentor, but where there's like this Grand Canyon chasm between us, and we don't quite know how to make it happen. So if you're looking for a practical application from today, I want you to think of a godly woman whose life you admire, and I want you to ask her if she can join you for coffee. That's it. You don't have to have like a curriculum, mentoring curriculum. You don't have to walk through the Old Testament prophets, okay? You can just get together. One of my girls that I mentor, her name's Meg. She's here this weekend. I adore her. And she, about 6 months ago, she was a new wife, and she said, I'm drowning. I admire you. Can we have coffee? I was so brave. And she's a delight to me. And I don't know that I'm teaching her anything, but I'm showing up in her life. And I know that if I did see areas of deception in her life, I would tell her about it. So you got to have some of those people in your life to help you identify the lies. Step three, this is the most important step. Replace the lies with truth. Replace the lies with truth. If you don't do this step, you won't get free. There's no pass here. So let's revisit those panic attacks that we told you about, that I was having all those years ago. So step one is identify the what? Bondage or sin. Good. So the bondage was panic. Now, we know that's bondage because the Lord tells us in His Word that we're called to freedom. He tells us not to be anxious for anything. So the fact that I was experiencing so much anxiety is contrary to God's Word. I'd been believing lies for a long time. Step two is identify the what? The lies. And we already told you, I needed Dana's eyes to help me see them. Step three is replace the lies with what?
Truth.
You can't skip step three. You can't. You got to have it. So like we told you this morning, I memorized some Bible verses. And when the fear or the panic would start to rise up in me, I would say those Bible verses out loud. And it neutralized it. Every time, it neutralized it. Now, if I just woke up in the night and I had the panic feeling and I would think, I'm believing a lie. What lie am I believing? And I try to like backpedal my way into it, I wouldn't have been free. But I replaced the lies with truth. How can we replace the lies with truth? The answer is really simple. But we don't do it. We commit to read the Bible every day, every day, every day. Nothing has transformed me more than the Bible. I wish you could have known 15-year-old me, because you would not believe I'm the same person in the same DNA. You wouldn't. And 20-year-old me and 30-year-old me, you would think that I'd had a complete personality transformation. And you know what's done that? It's not just that I've gotten older. It's not my life circumstances. It's the Bible. I'm in a season of my life right now where my life is the most chaotic it's ever been. My work situation is chaotic. My home situation is chaotic. My laundry never gets done. I've got all kinds of really deep, painful, hard things happening in my life right now. And I'm anchored. It doesn't mean I don't cry sometimes. I do. It doesn't mean I don't get stressed sometimes. I do. Although I got to be honest with you, not that often. Because I'm anchored in the Word of God. Girls, there's no shortcut. There's no other option. And there's nothing better coming. If you would commit at your age to knowing the Word of God, I wouldn't be able to recognize you in 5 years in the best possible way. In 10 years. It's the best stuff. So let's flip to John 8. Sorry, we've already been there once, but we're going to read it again. John 8. You're going to hear this passage over and over and over this weekend, and that's good. You should hear it over and over and over. Does somebody want to read it loud and proud? Who's got it? Right there. John 8, 31 through 32, loud and proud. Yep. Good. What translation are you reading to us from? KJV. Okay, who's got it in a different translation? 31 and 32. Give it to me. No? Right here. Give it to me. Loud and proud.
So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
I love how you read the Bible. ESV?
Yes.
Okay, who's got it in something else? Right here. Give it to me. Good. What are you reading from?
NIV.
Let's take one more. Somebody got one more translation right there, sweet girl. Loud and proud. Good. Okay. There's a reason why I did that. The reason is this. When you're not here at a Christian conference with a bunch of people who believe like you do, you're going to hear people say, "Well, you're all reading different Bibles anyway. You don't even know what you believe." And we just heard from four different translations, and they all said the same thing. And the bottom line is this, that we will know the truth, and the truth will set us what?
Free.
We will know the truth, and the truth will set us what?
Free.
So we're not all reading different Bibles. We're reading the inspired, remarkable Word of God. And the promise of the inspired, remarkable Word of God is that truth will free us. Flip back a little bit in John to John 1:1. How do we get free? It's by reading God's Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what?
With
God. And the Word was what?
Was
God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. Now, the Bible is not the fourth member of the Trinity. The Bible is where the other three members of the Trinity speak clearly to us. I hear from women all the time, "Aaron, I just don't hear from God like you do." And you know what I always say? "When was the last time you read your Bible?" And they go, "Well, I just said it." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's nothing mysterious about this part of God. He has revealed himself to us through his word. How do we know God? Through his word. And here's another little thing I need you to know about the Bible, sweet girls. The Bible is not a book about you. And so if you're going to the Bible day after day to try and learn something about yourself, you might. But it's not a book about you. And the goal isn't to know you. The goal is to know God, because guess what? You can't free yourself or you would have done it already. Know thy truth. Follow thy arrow. It's all hogwash. It doesn't mean anything. It makes for cute t-shirts. I'll give you that. But the only way you're going to get free is by knowing God. The goal in life is not to know you or to know your truth. That's going to take you into all kinds of prisons. Trying to know your truth. The goal of life is to know God and to glorify God. And it's not a mystery how we do that. It's only through his word. If you only hear me say one thing today, let it be this. If you want to be free, get in his word. If you want to be free, get in his word. And if you're not sure you want to be free, get in his word, and the word will help you realize you want to be free. I mean, it is so life-changing, so remarkable, so powerful, but the Lord, in his wisdom, doesn't just download it to us in a USB drive. He asks us to be disciplined students of the word. If you want to dance like Miriam danced in joy and freedom, run to God's word. If you want your life to have purpose, if you want God to use you, if you want to see your friends and family get free, what do? Run to God's word. I can't give you another option. There isn't another option. That's what we do. So step three is the key to unlocking all the other steps. How we get free, we work backwards a little bit. Because when you know the Bible, suddenly the lies are a little bit easier to detect. There's only going to be one question when we get to heaven. It's going to be, did you surrender to Jesus? My answer is yes, so I'm in. There's not going to be any extra credit. There's not going to be any quiz. I don't study the Bible in order to impress God, but I want as much of the Bible inside of me before I am face to face with Him that I can get. And I want as much of the Bible inside of you before you're face to face with Him that you can get. So let's repeat the steps together. Step one is identify the sin or bondage. Good. Step two is identify the
lies.
Very good. Step three is replace the lies with. Okay, we've got a little bit of time, and I just want us to practice this. So, Cheesy, can you come run microphone for me? We're going to run it out into the audience a time or two. Thank you. We're going to kind of do it as a group. So, by a show of hand, no screaming or yelling, would anyone be brave enough to share something the Holy Spirit has revealed as an area of sin or bondage? That's step one, reveal an area of sin or bondage. Anybody want to share by a hand up? Right here, an area of sin or bondage.
There's just this whole situation going on in my family.
Yeah, just give us the area of bondage, though. You got it? The area of sin or bondage.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
And I just haven't been trusting God and trusting that His will is right as much as I should be.
Okay. So we would call that a lack of faith, a lack of trust. Has it shown up in areas? How's it shown up? How does it change your behavior? Does it make you anxious? Would you say fear? Sadness?
Worry.
Okay, good. You did great. You're so brave. So she's got a situation going on, painful situation. I was not discounting the sad situation. I just want to walk through the process. So the situation's going on at home. She recognizes she's not trusting. And the way it's showing up is she's got some chronic worry. It's right here at the very surface of her heart is this worry. Okay, good. Brave, brave girl. Okay, so step one is identify the bondage. Step two is what? Identify the lie. So we don't know you, sweetie. We don't know the situation. We're just going to guess, and we might get it wrong. But we're using you as a case study, okay? So if the area of bondage is chronic, debilitating worry, what might be some of the lies? Now, she mentioned she's struggling to trust, so I'm going to put that in the form of a lie. The lie might be, God is not going to come through for me in this situation. Just guessing, that might not be in this situation. But if the area of bondage is worry, what are some of the other lies that might be at the root? Cheesy, I'll bring you the microphone. You were just guessing. This might not be accurate for you. We're using you as a case study. But if the area of bondage is chronic worry, what might be some of the lies? Any guesses?
Was that you putting your hand up?
One of the lies might be that He isn't there all the time.
Okay, God isn't there. God has abandoned or left me. Good. Right here?
She might be thinking ahead like what Miss Cheesy does.
Okay.
And what ifs. She has a lot of what ifs, which
okay,
are
okay, a lot of what ifs. Can't control the situation a little bit. Okay, good. Right here, some other things that might be the lie.
God isn't big enough.
God isn't big enough to handle this situation. Some in the back, okay?
God doesn't care.
God doesn't care. Are any of these resonating? Do any of these sound like they might be the root lie? Okay, good. Right there in the back. I'll take maybe two more for this one, then we're going to repeat the process.
God isn't true.
God isn't true. Okay, good. I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying good thought.
Good.
Right here, yellow shirt. What might be the root lie?
That you can't trust people anymore.
Can't trust people anymore. Okay, so you guys just did step one of the process was identify the area of bondage. We called it worry. Listen, bondage has all kinds of tentacles. So when this is happening in real life, we're making it sound a little bit simpler than it is. I'll acknowledge that. It could be worry. It could be fear. It could be doubt. It has all kinds of tentacles into our life. But we're calling it worry. And you guys identified several potential lies, and you were right there ready for them. Lies like God isn't big enough to handle this. God isn't real. God has abandoned me. So if you just got that far, you would not be free. So step three is what? Replace the lies with truth. And that's what we're going to do next. We're going to do it together. Now, I don't want you to speak to me your truth. I don't want you to speak to me something you read somewhere on a t-shirt. I only want you to give me truth as truth from the Word of God. John 17:17, when Jesus was praying for us in the garden, he said, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So if thinking of the lies that have been mentioned, let's pick one. God isn't big enough. Can anyone speak a truth from Scripture? It's okay if you can't give us the reference that speaks to the lie, God isn't big enough. Purple shirt.
We can do anything through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay. Another truth that might speak to God isn't big enough.
God is the Word and the Bible is God.
God is the Word and the Bible is God. You're reading from John 1:1. Okay, good. Right here. Another truth that speaks to God not being big enough.
Be still and know that I'm God.
Be still and know that I'm God. In other words, I'm huge. You're tiny. Sit down. Right? I got this. Good. Right here. Another truth that speaks to the lie that God is not big enough.
God is omnipresent.
He is omnipresent. Good. We'll take two more maybe. Right here. You girls are ready with the truth, which I love.
In this world you have trials and tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
Oh, yeah, you know it. In this world you have trials and tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, I'm big. We're going to keep doing it, girls, I promise. Love that your eagerness. All right, we're looking for a truth to counter the lie that God is not big enough.
I am with you as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah, I'm with you as far as the east is from the west. There's all kinds of things we could say. In Job, it tells us that we've only seen the fringe of his works. We don't have any idea how huge he is. Job talks all about how he fills the storehouses with snow and he laid the foundations of the earth. And the waters of the earth fit in the span of his hand, the Bible tells us. So if we think that God isn't big enough, we counsel our hearts with the truth of Scripture that he is humongous. So that's the process. We just did it really quick in real time, but I want us to practice. Let's do it one more time at least. Who can identify an area of sin or bondage the Lord has revealed this weekend? This is the hardest part. Plaid shirt over there.
What?
She's getting her steps in today.
I am. Plaid shirt, put your hands back up.
So step number one is identify the sin or bondage.
Where was
right here.
She?
Sister loud and proud, hand up. There you go.
Sorry, saw another plaid.
All right, sin or bondage?
God is not really involved in my life.
Okay, that's the lie. So that's a good one. Mm-hmm. But how has believing that lie shown up in your life?
God is enough and he'll meet your needs.
That's the truth. You got step two and three. But is there a way that believing God isn't involved in your life, has that impacted you in any way? Can you think of a way that's made you struggle?
When I'm in my room and being depressed, I think God is not with me.
You got it, sister. Okay, we worked backwards there and that was a good. We got to see sometimes it's like, get there. So she talked about being in her room and depressed. And so depression is like a chronic sadness you can't lick. And so that's the area of bondage. And the lie that she mentioned was, God, tell me again, God doesn't care about me? What was it, sister? Was it? God's not involved in my life. Mm-hmm. Good. So that's one lie that could be tied to it. If the area of bondage is chronic depression, what could be some other lies that are causing that? We're just guessing in her case, but some other lies that are causing it. You can just holler it out right here. I'm not worth enough. Good. Right there. Same thing. Anything else that could be some other lies? Pink shirt. You, pink shirt. Sweet girl. Yeah, that's your name. Pink shirt. What? Okay, second guessing yourself. So lots of lies about our own value right here. God will never pull me out of it right here. I'm invisible. Okay, right here. I'm not pretty enough. Okay. Any other root lies that might be right there?
Everything bad happens to me.
Everything bad happens to me. Anybody ever feel that way? Yeah. Okay. Any other root lies? You got a thought? Nobody cares about me. Yep, right there. God's not with me, okay?
I'm the only one going through this.
Did you have one, sweetie? You were going to say that one? All right. Anybody else right there? I'm worthless. Anybody else? Right there? I'm alone. Right there? I don't have any friends. All right. Let's drill down on I'm alone. I'm the only one going through this. I don't have any other friends. That whole theme. So if the lie looks like I'm alone, I don't have any friends, nobody else is going through this, what's the truth? Straight out of Scripture. Give me straight Scripture right there.
I will never leave you or forsake you.
Surely I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In the back, what's the truth? I love it. Is it from Isaiah? Where's it from? Yeah. Isaiah 54:10. The mountains should crumble, the hills be removed, but my love is never going to be removed from you. Us. That's God talking to us. What's the truth? I knitted you together in your mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully, right? What's the truth right here? That one, fearfully and wonderfully. If the lie is, I'm alone, I don't have any friends, nobody else is going through this, I'm the only one that feels this way, what's the truth? Very good. From Colossians, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that we might walk in them, right? Girl, John 3:16 still preaches all day long. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If that's the only, if you only get to pick one verse, that'll do, because that's the gospel, and it speaks of his great love for us, and there's no greater love that he would lay down his life for us. Okay, there you go, right here. You're doing it. You're doing it. That's right. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Girls, you know the truth. What's the truth? He sees our every step. Right here.
There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
That's right. Right here.
We know that God causes everything to work together for those who love.
That's right. You got it. Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's right. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Is it Jeremiah? Joshua. Ugh. And it was a J right here. Where's it from? Psalm. Love it. Right here.
God is with her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day.
That's right. Right here. Jeremiah 29:11, right here. Girls, you know the Bible, and I love it. That's what it needs to be. It needs to be so close to the surface. Listen, the references are not inspired. Men put the references there to help us have easier access to our Bible, and that's good. But I hear from people all the time, like, I know it's in there, but I don't know where it is. Okay, that's great. You need to know the truth, and it needs to be so close to the surface because every single one of us has felt that. I'm alone. I have no friends. I'm the only one going through this. And then we call to mind. Lamentations, it says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I choose to cling to the word of God. It sounds like we have some scripture memorizers in this room, which I love. Because you know what? The enemy is not going to stop coming at us with lies. And we need the Bible right here at our fingertips, right here in our hearts. And people will tell me often, I can't memorize the Bible. I tried. Pray about it. Ask the Spirit to help you in that area of weakness. So you got the process. Step one is identify the lies or areas of... No, we've missed it. We screwed it up already. Okay, step one is identify the sinner bondage. Good. Step two is identify the
lies.
Good. And step three is replace the lies with
truth.
Identify the sinner bondage. Identify the
lies.
Replace the lies with truth.